Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Sito was a warrior. You do not honor her.
You didn't know her!
Do you follow every order from your commanders?
No!
Sito made her choice. You want to solve puzzles and mysteries? Your friend gave her life to protect that. She would not approve of your actions.
You're right. She'd say I'm acting like an idiot. A Benach. Okay, but Starfleet can do better. I'm not wrong to call out bullshit when I see it.
Maj Duj Dacic. Honor your friend, slay your enemies, and study your... What is it? Plants?
Yeah, sometimes it's plants.
Okay, how about we start the podcast? Okay, let's do it. Let's start the podcast. We'll cut out
Chief
all
O'Brien.
That previous stuff we were just talking about that's unsuitable.
Holograms.
For the public airwaves.
What about that awesome song I wrote?
Holograms?
Oh, yeah.
Holograms.
I wrote an awesome song before this whole thing about getting on the ground and flopping
Sabotage.
Around.
That was a good song.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll deal with it later, because right now we're doing the real podcast. We got to get moving.
This is the real one.
What is real reality one? Anyways?
Okay, hello.
It's this Sabotage. Right now.
Hello, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hello.
This is episode 212 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We're just now starting to get pretty good at it, so this is a good episode to listen to.
Hell yeah.
And this week, we will be discussing Star Trek Lower Decks Season 4, the penultimate episode, as it happens, of Season 4, entitled The Inner Fight. That's the episode we will be discussing.
Girls trip!
After a few news-em-ups.
News-em-ups! They're on the rad!
Still not 100% on board with that slogan.
News-em-ups!
I'm down
they're
for
on
news-em-ups.
The rad.
News-em-ups, I'm digging.
They're a tube on the rad. They're a tubular on the rad.
A tubular is cool, but being on
a
the
tube
rad,
on the rad.
I'm uncomfortable with that phrase.
How about tube on the rag on the rad?
Okay, never mind.
Never mind.
Danger. Danger. Danger.
I didn't even realize it. I think you've revealed why I was uncomfortable with that phrase.
Terrible.
Yes, news.
Oh, wait, so this was the penultimate, then last week was the mambo penultimate or whatever.
Anti-penultimate.
It wasn't the uni-penultimate?
I believe it is the anti-penultimate. It's next to the penultimate.
That's an interesting way of describing it as an anti-penultimate.
Well, it's not anti, it's ante.
Well, then it's not weird.
Anti-penultimate.
Oh, ante meaning beforehand? Before
the penultimate.
Anti-meridian. Yeah.
It's sort of like how anti-disestablishmentarianism means that you are against disestablishmentarianism.
So,
establishmentarianism is about, if I recall correctly, having a state religion. Disestablishmentarianism is about removing the state
religion. Church of
England. If you're anti-disestablishmentarianism, then you are in favor of maintaining the Church of England.
Weird.
England?
So why don't should the fourth from the last, they should just call it the anti penultimate. They should call it the pre anti penultimate.
There's a name for it.
They should call it the pre anti penultimate.
All right.
Pre anti penultimate. That's really hard to say.
I have a New Year's resolution that I'm going to interrupt Dan less, and it's working out so far.
New Year's resolution. Okay.
News-em-ups.
Okay, my fault. I'm not proving my worth right now.
I'm enjoying it. This is an entertainment program, and I'm entertained.
I'm just reinforcing.
I am entertained.
I'm just reinforcing fears that people have. Okay, I'm done.
All right. So, news-em-ups, first of all. Jesus fucking Christ. First, just as an administrative note, Jesse tonight is joining us remotely. So if there is any sort of difference in the timbre of his voice, it is due to that. Jesse, why don't you give us an example?
I am doing a podcast remotely.
That was good. that was solid.
Is there a difference to the timbre of my voice?
No doubt there will be to the keen-eared among us.
You're
probably
right.
The keen-eared might notice a difference. And that's
why it's got Star Trek aficionados.
We want to be all upfront and open that normally Jesse would be peering over the table at Dan.
What are you talking about?
But tonight,
he'd be frowning back at me.
Tonight, because of some competing obligations, he is peering over us, over at both of us on Zoom.
Zoom,
as it happens. Mm-hmm. So that was the...
Just like 2020.
That's the News 'em Up number one. News 'em Up number two is that Dan and I had the very nice pleasure and delightment...
Ah, yes.
...to be on Trek Time's Pros and Cons debate show.
Yes, we did.
The live debate show, which was last Saturday. It was recorded, but you can find it if you go to Trek Time on YouTube. And or you search pros and cons, pros spelt as in prose, P-R-O-S-E, mm-hmm. As in the written form, you know, the storytelling sort of form, yes, as opposed to poetry or some other
metered verse
options. Pros and cons, as in con,
yeah,
as in this is Seti Alpha 5, that sort of thing.
Sabotage.
And the topic that we were given, Dan and I debated each other. Didn't we, Dan? Shit.
We did.
And we debated each other on the topic of which Star Trek
when
duo...
When does that ever happen?
Which Star Trek duo would win a cooking contest?
That's right.
Yes, and so to find out how that debate went, you need to go over to TrekTime on YouTube.com and check it out.
Is it Neelix and Tuvok?
No. But you'll find out who the... I think Dan and I did a good job of picking good teams.
I agree. It was a spirited discussion for sure. I need to remember to wear... make sure my monitor is always going through my headphones, because otherwise I end up just like yelling really loud. So I had no feedback telling my ears to be more quiet. So
you were like Andy Samberg's park ranger on Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, so that's a lesson learned.
Actually,
on that
it didn't sound like that to me. It sounded perfectly normal to me. But why don't you all go listen to it, and you can write in at feedback@discostartrek.com and with the subject line, Dan's too loud. And let us know if you thought he was loud.
It was a rollicking good time.
It was great. And you all should go check it out. We'll have the link in the show notes as well, like in the, you know, in the podcast feed thing, so there'll be a link to that video. Definitely go check it out. I don't know, what was it, like an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. It was a real good time. Mm-hmm. They got tons of fun videos over at Trek Time. I mean, endless content. You can have so much fun over there. So go check it out. So we were really delighted to be invited. And I think it
delighted to invited.
Yeah, I think it worked out very well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go enjoy that as soon as humanly possible. And then the last news em up is just to give you a heads up that in the second break, we'll have some cool Star Trek trivia that's relevant to this episode. It's not really a trivia game. It's more just some trivia that was put together by some users on Reddit, which I think thought was very interesting and worth incorporating into our conversation here. Anybody else have any news em ups? Jesse, news em ups?
No. All right. I did mine.
Ooh. Jesse's all good. Dan, do you have any news em ups?
Ooh.
You got anything to plug? Got any shows coming up?
Yeah, I bet he does.
Yeah, I got one coming up in a few weeks. It's in my basement, but you got to be on the guest list to arrive. And if you don't,
how do you get on the guest list?
Well, if you don't know, then you're not on it.
Okay,
so.
All right. Yes, Dan does a series of avant-garde one man shows.
Yeah,
Jesse and I have never been invited, so we just couldn't tell you what they're all about.
It's performance art as much as it is like, you know, a concert. And
I've heard rumors.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the rumors I've heard.
And you
Jesse.
Can see in the window from the outside.
Well, that the rumors I heard that is exclusive parties are exclusive to a party of one and a couple of cats
and a TV
and people peer in and dance, just doing some bizarre dance.
And maybe some kind of like some Stouffer's macaroni that I like made and like ate.
Stouffer, you know, Stouffer's stuffing is pretty solid.
Oh,
so
yeah,
quick.
It's good.
Just toss a little butter in there, a little water, some milk.
Stouffer's mac and cheese is like one of them guilty pleasures for me. It's like I just tear up a whole family size
I don't know if I've tried the Stouffer's. We tend to go with the old-fashioned Kraft.
Yeah, Kraft's good too. You know, I mean, you know, it's whatever you prefer, man.
It is. There are money, many options out there.
There are money options.
Eating something
money.
Else altogether.
Those options are money, man.
Jesse's not into gloppy food so much.
Gloppy. Yeah.
No, he doesn't like eggs. He doesn't like mayonnaise. Dan and I could just be slathered in eggs and mayonnaise, and we'd be happy folks.
Yeah, generally. Generally, I like to, like, carry a bunch of eggs with me when I go swimming in mayonnaise.
Yeah, and Dan's not talking about, like, hard-boiled eggs. He's talking about just cold fried eggs.
Yeah.
Sunny-side-up fried eggs.
Yeah, I like them, like...
In your pocket. It's
he's talking about the eggs that his own body produces.
That's a weird...
Weird.
Chicken Dan.
Weird.
They call him Chicken Dan.
Whoa!
All right. Well, we'll move the topic along from Dan's cloaca and towards Star Trek.
They call him Cloaca Dan.
But, like, you can't have an egg pool, a mayonnaise party with eggs in the mayonnaise pool unless the eggs are over very easy. So over well will not do. So,
yeah.
They need to be nice and slurpy.
Let's take a raw egg. Slurp it down.
Slurp it. Ugh.
You just keep them in your pockets?
Yeah, you just keep fried egg in your pocket. You
danger.
Scramble, you
danger.
Know? I mean, if you're going to have if you're going to be hiking or something, you might do just loose scrambled eggs. Might be better than the raw eggs.
But... Like a necklace around your neck or something.
You know, so the audience can now see how little Jesse knows of eggs. He's so disgusted by them. He's unclear on the physics of the incredible edible egg. This message has not been brought to you by the United States Egg Council.
What? What are you talking about?
Remember those commercials?
The incredible edible egg? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there was that sketch.
There was that sketch
on the I Think You Should Leave where he's like dropping some egg into like some. He's playing some game.
Oh, yeah. That's
some
on computer, season three. That's a great one. That's
computer,
the egg game.
Computer egg game where he's dropping eggs in the computer.
Yeah. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. And it's the egg game. Look it up.
He was also, the first time I saw Tim Robinson was in an SNL sketch called, it was about a product called Z-Shirt. It was with him and Kevin Hart.
Okay. You already talked about
that. Yeah, I know. The best part is every time we bring up Tim Robinson, you always give the anecdote about seeing him in that Z, and it's cool. Z-shirt. It's cool.
No, I'm just saying the beauty of a podcast, well, the beauty, I don't know if that's the beauty, but maybe I should say a characteristic of a podcast is the fact that like, people or a radio show, people don't listen to all of them. So somebody might not have heard that very, very entertaining anecdote I had. It wasn't an anecdote, more of a suggestion. I guess it was
somebody
a suggestion combined with an anecdote.
It was a suggested note.
But there's a good chance.
No, it was an anecdestion.
There's a good chance that nobody has heard me out there in the podcast world has heard me say that before. But you can if you go back
but
to
there
the previous
are,
episodes.
I would imagine there are some as well. And so we merely need to acknowledge it.
What about our true fans?
Yes, our true fans, they will know and they will say, they brought that story up again, but that's okay. We're fine with all of this. As you noted, Dan, it ain't no thing. Mm-hmm. What is a thing though is Star Trek Lower Decks season 4 episode 9, the inner fight, the inner fight, which was very good, very good first part of a 2-part episode.
They knock.
Yeah,
I agree. They had not Tom Paris. But they had Nick Locarno.
Nick Locarno.
Nick Locarno.
Nick Locarno.
Nick Locarno.
Nick?
Patrick, didn't you say something last week about Tom Paris? Unless I made it up in my head, I thought you were saying something about Tom Paris last week or the week before.
Did I say something? I may have said something about Tom Paris. I can't remember. Maybe it was mentioning that the weird ship has a kind of a hint of a similarity to the Delta Flyer.
Which weird ship?
The white ship that Locarno apparently is Locarno's ship.
Okay.
Now we know. Now we know. Now we know.
What about those things they were flying?
I was like, now we know it's Locarno.
Yeah. Oh, okay. If you did it again, I could say Nick Locarno. I could follow it up with a sound. We don't have to do that.
You want
to
say Nick Locarno?
Well, like you say, now you know, and then I'll say Nick Locarno.
Okay.
Now we know. Now we know. Now we know.
Nick Locarno.
All right. I'm so glad we did that. The clip I was playing is from an episode of That Mitchell and Webb Look, and it's a famous sketch in which somebody keeps saying...
Can you say to me a famous sketch?
Well, it is one that stands out...
In my
out,
opinion.
It stands out in the pantheon of That Mitchell and Webb Look sketches, and they're all good. But this is one of those ones that's particularly good, and it's the Now We Know sketch. Mm. And it's, to me, one of the funniest of the already enormously funny That Mitchell and Webb Look TV show sketches. It's a sketch show from England with David Mitchell and Robert Webb and a number of other cool people, and they got all sorts of funny jokes.
I'm hugging you.
It is funny, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good show. I haven't seen a lot of it, but it's a good show.
Anyway, that's where Now We Know comes from. Anyway, you were, I think I accidentally interrupted one of you saying something about Nick Locarno.
You were talking about the Delta Flyer, and apparently this was Nick Locarno's ship. So.
It is, but Nick Locarno. Okay, so here's the thing: we know it's Nick Locarno, and we can discuss more about what we think his motivations are, et cetera. But the Delta Flyer is a different ship and it flies differently and all that. But I don't know. There's like a silhouette that's similar, but it also shouldn't make sense because Nick Locarno is expressly not Tom Paris. So Tom Paris is the one who built the Delta Flyer. There should be no relationship between the two. But unless Nick Locarno is like, hey, this guy is similar to me, so I'm going to like steal his design.
Well, maybe it was a meta joke by the writers or something.
And it could be a meta joke by the writers, or it could be myself and other people are reading too much into it when they think there's a shared silhouette there. Mm-hmm. I think that would also be a very fair point.
When I was watching the episode, I was like kind of bummed that there wasn't more Nick Locarno, and then it like struck me. I was like, oh wait, they're saving that for episode.
There's a whole nother episode. There's a whole nother episode.
The ultimate episode.
Probable together.
But how about this?
We're going to cause some trouble together. Trouble together.
We'll start at the beginning, or the beginning-ish part, where...
Your eyes shoot out of your head!
That part?
Yeah, that guy. Where, yes.
The venomous tremble lizards.
It's another one of these science outposts.
Right.
And we see more...
science.
More acute dangerous behavior from Mariner. I guess this has been somewhat regular over the course of the season, but this was like really acute. They're driving the point home here. Before it was more like more subtle versions of personal and professional sabotage. This was more like Death Wish type stuff.
Right.
Sabotage.
Oh, sorry. I had to play that. When they first did it was in the Ransom episode where she first got promoted, and it almost seemed as if it wasn't even a thing. Like, I mean, you could tell it was a thing at the moment in that episode when she said, why do I do that? When he's talking about why is she always
sabotaging
herself. And she's like, why do I do that? And that point, it was like, oh, they're making a point of this whole thing about Mariner. And that point, it was like kind of the first clue that this might be a beginning of something. But it wasn't even really established yet. And so now, yeah, they really sort of like explain like where her jaded shit all began. And it like got, it all came to a head when she got hand-to-hand combat with a Klingon and they were interrupted by a glass storm. That was like when it was too dangerous. Then that's when it was like, okay, what's going on with Mariner?
It seems like a big chunk of why Mariner is how we see her, how we know her as a character.
Yeah.
She seemed to explain it, like, you know, the rest of the story, probably.
Sito was a warrior.
About her friends.
Unless there's more.
Well, and it's the other thing that this episode, of course, does is it ties... Lower Decks, the television program, into TNG's Lower Decks, the TV episode.
Yeah.
Which, you know, more acutely and in a very interesting way by establishing the fact that Mariner knew Ensign Sito Jaxa, and she was in two episodes of TNG. First is the First Duty, and that's the one with Locarno.
You said duty.
Yeah.
Sorry.
First Duty.
And
Wesley Crusher.
Okay. So I think it does make sense for us to go into Locarno, and then, which is all the First Duty stuff, and then into the Lower Decks mission stuff. But
Nick Locarno.
But first, I wanted to note that we sometimes look at the internet and see what the internet's bubbling about. And this episode, I think, was very well received. However, it did renew the debate that there's this sort of ongoing debate about Mariner's age on the internet.
I didn't know that was a thing at all.
That's been going on since the beginning, because especially from some of the early critics who were kind of quick to jump to the idea that Mariner was some sort of quote unquote Mary Sue.
Oh, I knew you were. Yeah, when you said quote unquote, I was like, oh no, he's going to say.
Well,
Mary
it's because
Sue.
It's a literary term that people actually tend to use incorrectly. But regardless, they were accusing her of being quote unquote overpowered,
huh?
Right? But then there was a lot of the debate about well, she's been on all these ships and Deep Space Nine. She fought in the Dominion War. It's like, well, she's clearly more advanced than these other people than Boimler and Tendi, et cetera, who haven't fucked up their careers, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the point. We grew to understand and realize that that's kind of the point. Like, Mariner is older than all of them by some degree, but then the debate has been, By how much? By what degree?
Because she has such a long experience history with different ships and like all that. And like she seems to be the most knowledgeable of the bunch. But like it was always established that the reason she was the most knowledgeable in terms of like how Starfleet works, most experienced, I should say, is because she kept getting demoted, which would imply that she would be older.
Well, I don't necessarily agree fully because I think she has been on a number of ships. Yes, that gives her different experience, but she's also has a mom who's a captain.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's specifically shown to have interacted with like people like Riker. She has a very close relationship, right? So with
Thomas Riker.
High end people in the Starfleet, right? But what we get some clues here because we know that Cito Jaxa graduated Starfleet Academy in 2370, mm-hmm. which is 11-12 years before the events of this episode, right? And we know that she graduated ahead of Mariner, so Mariner graduated within a few years afterwards, probably Ensign Harry Kim style or something like that, which would make Mariner probably, I don't know, mid-30s, some, you know, plus or minus a few years. And that of course doesn't count any sort of potential time travel, temporal hilarity type business, which is another thing they could toss in there. But I think it's fine for people. Like, there's a big debate still raging on the internet, but to me the most convincing thing is like, yeah, okay, now we have a little bit more information about who she was contemporary with in Starfleet Academy, and we know what happened with those people and what years they were doing their business, so we can make a guess here that she's probably like 34 or something like that.
And the rest of them are in their
20s? The rest of them are probably in their mid-20s, you know, because you graduate in, what, 22, 23, presumably somewhere in that area.
Probably, yeah.
I think that's the general accepted understanding of how Starfleet Academy works. It works similar to a military academy on Earth, United States, 300 years previously. anyway, it was an interesting thing. We do get a lot more information, and some of it is the direct information, like Jesse noted about her background, and then some of it is just sort of the side little clues, like filling in some of the contours of Mariner's life. And we talked about last week, I think, right? How so much of this season seems to have been tying up loose ends that have been dangling, many of them since the very first episode, certainly the first season. So this has been a loose end tying up thing. And it feels weird, kind of, because we know there's season 5. We are hoping for many more. And so I'm very interested to see where they pivot from this, because, again, Mariner resolves a lot. Even in this episode, even though it's not done, you know, there's one more to go. We don't know exactly how it's going to resolve. She's at least gotten to the point where she's identified and vocalized the issue that's bogging her down.
Yeah, so in this season, she established she had an issue. She didn't really sort of like outwardly establish that any... Well, she seemed like when she said, why do I do that? That was sort of like an internal thing that she happened to say aloud. But this season, they established that she recognized it. And then this episode, we established why she has this issue.
Yeah,
that is kind of a big deal. It's a lot of shit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she's it's like she's suffering a form of arrested development. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Because she's. What do you think you're doing?
Because she's.
Now we know.
Now we know.
Now we know.
Now we know.
Nick Locarno.
But you know, but she is. She's. It's a form of arrested development because. Oh yeah, shit. It's a form of arrested development because she's stuck in this situation.
What's this meaning?
Now we know. Now we know.
Nick Locarno.
This is madness.
All I'm saying is that she had this tragedy that she endured. She had this person she looked up to, maybe a couple years ahead of her in school, and became close to, and saw that person make mistakes, which we can get into in a little bit in the first duty, but overcome them and succeed and get posted to the Enterprise, and only to die for a secret mission. That's really interesting. That's really interesting backstory to tie it to that. And you can see how somebody like Cito Jaxa was an ensign at the time. She was a mere ensign, and she went on this very important mission that could help potentially save a bunch of lives. You can understand how somebody could find themselves in a sort of form of arrested development by becoming sort of psychologically tied.
What the hell are you doing here?
Psychologically tied to that particular moment in that person's career. You know, it's like that she thought she was honoring her Sito by maintaining her ensignship because she wants to be just like Sito.
Do you
but
think that obviously? Do you think? Well, not. Do you think she was trying to honor? I mean, maybe that was part of it, but I also it seems like she's like really just jaded, super jaded about the whole thing because she said Sito was doing it because she was saying like she wanted to, you know, just explore. Yeah, basically, yeah, she just wanted to be explorer. That's all she wanted to do, and then she got caught up and killed, which is like and which will fuck you know. Fuck anyone up, right? Like in terms of like
presumably
on the
especially the being killed part.
Well, I'm on the outside. I mean, you. Yes.
That'll stop it.
I mean,
you stops everything.
Being blown up by like a photon torpedo is going to do all sorts of stuff to your outside,
but
and your inside, and everything in between.
You're not going to know the difference.
So because she's jaded that like because of, about like her friend just wanting to get in for one thing, but being killed for something that should have been nonviolent, it could also just be like she's just sort of disenchanted with the whole idea of Starfleet, and so she's basically trying to give him a fuck you all the time, like you can't you can't fucking I don't want you. It's like you can't get me because I don't want you. It's like instead of being rejected, she rejects Starfleet.
Yeah,
you know?
But with the added nuance that
and that way it also saves her from like being hurt more too.
Look, there's the added nuance that in my view what they're doing is they're using the Mariner character and her a character the Mariner character and her character
Mariner
they're using that as an analogy, a metaphor for the greater conflict that exists within the concept of Starfleet and the Federation, and even at the meta level exists within fans, which is how do you square the fact
that... The hypotenuse of a triangle.
That I'm not familiar with. But I am familiar in the literary sense.
Talk to that Pythagoras guy. He had a whole religion around numbers.
All right.
Some thought of him as a witch doctor.
Why don't you talk to him?
The God was a unit of one, not like anything. It was just this sort of one unit. The concept of one unit was God to them.
I went to the witch doctor.
Would you tell him what? Did he tell you what to do?
And this is what he said.
Bing.
No.
He said, no. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang.
Oh, that's what it is.
Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang.
What do you think you're doing?
That sort of thing. That advice I found sort of amusing, but largely useless.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
it's hard to take a lot from that and go with it.
It is. But getting back to the
what about the part at the Sandman? That Sandman, like when they're like bop 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 bop. What are they saying?
That's completely useful and helpful.
What are they saying there?
Bring me a dream. Boom 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 boom. Make her.
Yeah. What are they saying?
Making music.
What are they saying when they go bum bum bum?
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
But what about okay when Anthony Kiedis on the
ting tang walla walla bing bang?
What about Anthony Kiedis? What about Anthony Kiedis when he's all like wing along a ding a ding a dong shong a ning a numma numma nimma kong.
That's music.
But I'm saying, like, what are they saying? What is their soul saying?
What's it saying to you, man?
Hey, they smoke too much dope. That's hey, you smoke too much dope, you become a dope.
Oh.
Okay.
What do you think you're doing?
Before the break, I will get this point out because I think it's a useful point.
Point out.
The point is that in Star Trek, and we alluded to this either last week or the week before because there was some other similar thing that came up, I'm blanking on it right now, which was the conflict between what Starfleet wants to be and what it is. In other words, it wants to be a sciency, nerdy,
something
going
involving
and
having fun, dissonance, but, some kind of dissonance.
Well, there is cognitive dissonance, which is should not be confused with Arrested Development.
Here.
But I think what they're doing with Mariner is the important point with Mariner is, yes, she says that she's got this problem with Starfleet. She lists a number of problems, but specifically we're tying it to the death of Sito Jaxa being sent on this mission that probably, you know, she was only sent because she was a Bajoran, right? Basically. Mm. And she ended up dying for it. And, that's the war thing, right? That's the war thing.
Oh, that's
and
the
she
thing.
Had to
that's
prove
the thing about
Picard
war.
That she wasn't useless.
Yeah, but
you said but.
But what we don't see is we don't see Mariner leaving Starfleet. She flirts with it. Remember, was it last season or whatever? There's like she flirts with it, the idea, but she doesn't do it before. She tries it for a little bit and it doesn't work for her. She comes back, and that's the conflict. She loves Starfleet. She hates Starfleet. Mm-hmm. Starfleet does all these good things. Starfleet also does a bunch of shady things. Or even if you don't want to say Starfleet's definitely done some shady stuff, but even when they're just like, oh, I'm defending the Alpha Quadrant, it still sucks to be like, oh, my job now is just to mow down Cardassians and Jem'Hadar and just murder people, and they're going to be murdering my friends. That sucks.
Well, yeah.
Even if there's no way around it, philosophically or otherwise, it still sucks.
Well, I mean, there's a few things around that we've already talked about, but like I said, that's kind of like one of the ideas would be like, yeah, she loves Starfleet, but she doesn't want to get hurt. So that's why the whole, like, she's pushing away from it, but she can't keep herself away from it. But at the same time, she doesn't want to, like I was saying, she wants to reject them. She doesn't want them to reject her. And by reject her, not meaning kick her out. She means like the concept of Starfleet. Someone dies. That's a form of rejection. Having like someone you care about die. You know?
But I'm just saying, I think that it's both. She wants to reject them and not reject them. It's like that's the complexity.
That's because like she really loves it at the same time,
because
she feels her emotions are clashing because she really cares about it, but at the same time doesn't want to get hurt. And so that's the whole like where the dissonance comes in.
I don't want to get hurt either.
Dissonance.
And I think the best way we can avoid getting hurt is by taking a very brief break. What do you think?
Ow, I got sticks in my boots.
All right. Okay.
Patrick's got a pee-pee.
No, I don't have to pee-pee, not yet. I have to get a drink. All right. We'll be right back. All right, we're back.
We're not back.
We're not back. That's ridiculous. We are back. Right. We have returned. That's what I should say. All right, we have returned.
I guess I would want to clarify something I said right before the break, because it might not have made sense without some sort of... What does that mean?
I don't know. He's just fucking with you. It's funny. He's like over there. He's over there comfy in his own house, and he's still
fucking with you.
I'm in my own house. I'm just
about?
Pushing buttons and shit.
He's just pushing buttons and fucking with you.
When I said that, like, when someone close to you is dying or dies, it's a form of rejection. Now, that may not make a lot of sense, but what I was kind of trying to say is the same emotions are involved when somebody rejects you or somebody like has to leave, even if they're not specifically rejecting you. It's the concept of being torn away from something that you care about before you're ready or something like that. Now, one involves like, you know, bitterness about like at the person for like saying you're not good enough. The other involves bitterness about how life is all fucked up, but it's still this concept that something's being wrenched from you before you're ready.
All right. So before we get back to the old episode discussion, we do have, there's some interesting trivia. Jesus, what was that? What the fuck was that?
Who did that?
That was when they went to warp.
Yeah, and I started looking on the internet. It's like, can shuttles go to warp? And apparently they do have, some of them have limited warp capability. Some of them. Yeah.
I mean,
they don't talk about it a lot, though, because they don't usually show shuttles going to warp.
TNG had warp shuttles, but like not all of them were warp shuttles.
What was that? Oh, that reminded me of last week when we were talking about caves. Like they were talking caves. About. Oh yeah, because
was it the cave facts? Did you learn a lot of good stuff with the cave facts? That was a big hit, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, with the audience. The audience loved our cave facts. If you haven't heard last week's episode caves,
do you have any more cave facts for us, Patrick?
No, I used 10.
All of them. They're all gone.
10 were provided last week.
No, Steve Levy was a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
Right, and he was talking.
Still is.
I can't remember what he said, but he said something about like how warp drive doesn't actually like tear up
subspace because there's that whole TNG episode where the people
and,
were
and,
all like,
and
that's, it fucks it up.
That's funny. I'll tell you why that's funny.
Because
guys.
They never brought it up again. Well, no, there's a couple times they brought it up. That's what I'm trying to explain.
All right. They never brought it up again. So they're instead of saying like, oh, they brought this shit up and they're going back on their head cannon. No, just regular cannon. Saying that they sort of retconned this concept of like how warp drive messes up subspace or whatever. And you can say, no, they didn't retcon that. No. It was actually just a conspiracy by Starfleet all along. And it doesn't actually tear up subspace. And so that ties that loose end if you want to believe that that's a canon, but of course it's just a funny joke.
I also have a minor correction that in no way changes your point, but the minor correction
is not subspace.
Oh, no.
It's space-time continuum.
No. All I was going to say is just going to stress that they did bring it up at least one other time. There was an admiral that gave the Enterprise permission to exceed the warp limit in that area
you're right
because of a specific mission.
You're
not
right.
Not a Pacific mission. A specific. Because
they don't deal with Pacific in this in space.
They generally do not. Not unless they're dealing with the Cetacean ops are going home and visiting their home ocean.
Was that Admiral Akbar? Speaking of which.
What? Come on. Yeah. There was a lot of Star Wars in this. But anyway, let's do the trivia first, and then we'll get to the Star Wars, and then we'll get to the emotional stuff, and the this and the that, and the other things, okay? Great.
We did the emotional stuff already.
No, there's other emotional stuff.
I hate emotions.
I know.
There's always more emotional stuff, dude.
Okay. Well, we usually save the emotional stuff for the third break, but now we put it all in.
Let's do it!
We front-loaded it, so now the rest is just going to be fucking hilarious.
I've got a load in my back.
Wait, what?
Like it's going to be like that.
You said you didn't have to go to the bathroom over the break.
Well, because I did already. That's why I don't have to. Because I already did.
You got a load in your back.
My backside.
I'm in my own house and I don't have to.
I have a load
it.
In the pants in my backside.
I just want to make it. I don't know if this is some code that I'm not familiar with or if I'm to take it at face value.
Okay, I think I just.
Implying that you pooped your pants?
I think the way I said it came out really strangely, but I do remember a babysitter.
but I have pooped my pants.
No, I remember as a kid, there was a babysitter
coming
I had.
Out strangely.
She was this babysitter I had. She was Swiss and she was always talking about, like, oh, do you have a load in your pants? She'd always be talking about to the kids because there's like a million kids around. She's like,
it's
oh,
a Swiss
what's
thing?
Wrong? Do you have a load in your pants? And that's so she would, when she said you have a load in your pants, it was referring to doo-doo in the pants.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a Swiss thing, but if you ever were wondering, like, maybe I didn't hear it, maybe it is. I don't know.
You think a load in the pants is a Swiss thing?
You
like,
guys have never...
Like clocks?
You guys have never heard
and
of...
mountains and tunnels?
Like working too much and...
I don't know.
Well, wait.
They work like 48 hours
so,
a week.
So neither of you guys have heard of like load in your pants referring to doo-doo?
No, yes, of course we have, but I'm trying to... provide this trivia.
But you were saying that you were confused by me saying it.
No, I was confused by you connecting it to a Swiss person as if it was a Swiss
thing. No, you were confused because I was talking about having a load in my pants and you were like confused by the concept of me having a load in my pants.
But you didn't say load in your pants, you said load in your back.
Okay, yeah,
that,
okay.
It was confusing.
Okay,
was
you're,
confusing
fair enough. You're right, I'm okay. wrong.
All
right. Fine, right. You're no, right, I'm
no,
wrong,
no,
whatever.
Just, this is how things go. On air resolution.
This has never happened before.
Of conflict.
Is there any more trivia?
Yes, we're getting there. We haven't even gotten to it. Okay. So this this is the longest times between character appearances trivia.
Well, I would have never thought of this.
But I was curious about this. As it happened, the Reddit user Phoenix Hunter pulled this.
That was from a game called Killer Instinct.
Okay, pulled this list together with the help of various commenters, and it's actually a couple of lists. So thank you very much to Phoenix Hunter. Although,
thank you.
I'm a little concerned about the name, because if your name is Phoenix Hunter, presumably, like...
Does that mean you're a supervillain?
No, I think it means you hunt phoenixes for sport.
Yeah. Well,
which is not very sporty.
Well, isn't the the phoenix, that's like something in Marvel, like the phoenix.
Well, it's also...
And so that
in mythology, the phoenix is the bird that... dies and comes back.
It burns
fire.
Itself to death.
Well, yeah,
it burns itself to death.
Yeah, I know.
The old Harry Potter's got some of that business. The transphobic Harry Potter.
I knew that. And the first time I learned that is was a kid playing a game called Archon, which was like a chess kind of game. And you could be a phoenix. Yeah. And the phoenix is moving. Anyway, it caught on fire.
I don't want to promote people hunting phoenixes. Now, it's possible.
Yeah, Jean Grey was phoenix.
It's possible.
And so he's a supervillain hunting Jean Grey.
It's possible that this person is a hunter. And he died, or they died, and then rose from the ashes. Maybe a hunter who died in some sort of self-immolation or something, and then rose from the ashes and has taken on the epithet Phoenix.
Warrior.
They're the Phoenix Hunter. But I don't think so. I think probably they hunt phoenixes.
Well, that's why I think he's a super villain, because he hunts Jean Grey.
Okay.
Maybe he lives in Arizona.
Okay.
Who was played by Famke Janssen, who was in an episode who was in an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Anyway, so the question I have for you is, we have two lists. One is a list which is just characters, it's a list of how much time has elapsed between the last appearance of a character and the next appearance.
Well, it wouldn't be their last if it was their next, if they had a next appearance.
Okay, you know what I mean. Well, the intervening time between the characters previous to appearance, the most time between a character appearing and then reappearing again later.
Disappearing.
Is it mud? Yeah,
okay.
Well, the question is there's two lists that are going. One is just the characters, just purely the characters, and the other one is characters portrayed by the same actor. One are you interested in perusing first?
The first one, not the same actor one. I'm interested in the character one.
How about toss out a few guesses? Now, I'll tell you this, you're probably not going to get like the number ones. Some of these are sort of one-off weird characters that is
fun. There's a big gap between the mud of
if it was TOS
and the mud of Discovery.
Harry Mudd, I'll give you the answer. The Harry Mudd, the character, the gap is 43 years, 11 months, and 5 days. Mudd's Passion, which was in TAS, and then Choose Your Pain, which was
Jippers are half price for tripeds today.
On Discovery, yes. And Jippers. They mentioned Jippers.
Yeah.
Half price for tripeds.
Yeah.
Tripeds. Come on.
Come on.
All right. Well, so, Jesse, you said Harry Mudd. That's in this list is number 12. And by the way, this list was debated because there was a few different things in, you know, alternate universes and this and that and the other thing. But
What about Kirk?
Which Kirk?
James T. Kirk.
Not on this list.
Well,
because Kirk
was in Strange New Worlds.
Yes, but in, yeah.
But how far in the past was that?
I think even that, because the Kirk, I guess that would be, he was in Generations, so it's like,
oh, that wouldn't, yeah, that wouldn't.
It's like 25 years.
Chapel. Nurse Chapel.
Nurse Chapel's a good one. I don't think I see,
Wait, when you say time, do you mean like a timeline in the
time
show?
Time is the fire. Do you mean
timeline in the show or timeline in real life? In real life, yeah. Then it would be Kirk.
Down here, it's our time.
Because it would be Kirk because he was in TOS, but then he was also in the Strange New Worlds, New Worlds episode.
No, but you're missing that Kirk was in Generations.
But that doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
Because it's
Captain Kirk.
Because it doesn't fit with what I'm saying.
Okay, well, then you should fucking join this Reddit thread because that's exactly what the type of shit that people were saying. Which is why no one's going to be satisfied with any of this shit. Okay, how about this? I'll just toss out a few highlights there. Spock, it was 47 years, 9 months, 30 days. The Infinite Vulcan to Kayshan, his eyes open.
The Infinite Vulcan was like the last appearance.
That was Spock too. That was the giant Spock.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Wait, there's a spot. Wait, Spock 2 comes back.
Yeah, in
as a skeleton.
In Kayshan, his eyes open.
Oh right,
you see him with the collector people.
That's funny.
Una Chin Riley is 52 years, 2 months, 14 days. Shit. The Menagerie to an Obol for Charon.
Why didn't I? That was should have been the first one I thought about.
Christopher Pike is 52 years, 1 month, 24 days.
Have they established a definitive answer yet?
These are real. I mean, this is as definitive as it's going to get. Joseph Mbenga. Joseph Mbenga, the character, 53 years, 3 months, 11 Ooh. Days. That which survives in TOS to Strange New Worlds. Landru, 53 years, 7 months, 29 days. That's the Return of the Archons and No Small Parts, where they go back to that planet. T'Pring is Spock's engaged person. A Mock Time to Strange New Worlds.
Bup.
Interestingly, Staun, 54 years, 9 months, even longer, which actually makes sense, I guess, A Mock Time to the Serene Squall, because he showed up after T'Pring on Strange New Worlds. Sam Kirk is listed as number 2, 55 years, 22 days, Operation Annihilate to Strange New Worlds. Number 1, it's a deep cut, it's Hansen Al-Salah, 55 years, 6 months, 22 days, Balance of Terror to Equality of Mercy. If I recall correctly, he was the one who was on the station that was being attacked by the Romulans.
So
we see him again, but he's played by a different thing. Now, we'll go over some of the highlights of characters portrayed by the same actor.
Oh, I want to guess one. I want to guess one.
And this is one reason why we're bringing it up, because on this list, one of them is Nick Locarno. Which is, well, just that's the baseline, right? We'll set that
Nick
in there.
I won't
tell you where he is in the list of 10, but there's Nick Locarno.
Well, I don't get to guess any.
Well, I'm just telling you Nick Locarno, and then you can guess around that, okay? Mm-hmm. So Nick Locarno was 31 years, 6 months, 26 days.
Arn Darvin.
From the first duty to the inner fight.
What about
Arn Darvin?
Jesse's saying Arn Darvin. Arn Darvin is 28 years.
What about Majel?
10 months.
Majel Barrett, is she in there?
No, Arn Darvin's a few slots below. He's number 7. A few slots below Nick Locarno.
Does Majel Barrett like go on that list?
Majel Barrett's an actress. So what's
character? Wait, that's what we were saying. The same played by the same actor.
Yes, and she's not on
the list of
10.
No, Jesse, we're talking about the same actor. We're not talking about the same character.
The character played by the same actor versus
The character portrayed by the same actor. So
you're not just talking about people playing like just the same actor appearing back
no.
on the show. Oh
no, no,
I misunderstood.
otherwise, I'm sure it'd be Clint Howard.
I'm sure. I'm
because Clint Howard was on TOS.
I got the premise wrong.
And okay, Well, are you going to guess?
Well, all my answers are meaningless now.
Maybe how many answers? You just found out about this quiz, and you already have like a boatload of answers.
Yeah, I got like infinity.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, Jesse, good job with Arn Darvin.
Yeah.
There is, of course, Kor, Koloth, and Kang. They were in Blood Oath on Deep Space Nine, but they're slightly different. They're all around 25, 26, 27 years. That's where they are. If we go up, Sonia Gomez, 32 years, 4 months, 29 days. Right. She was in the Samaritan Snare. Didn't she spill like coffee or something on Picard?
Yeah.
And then she was a captain in First Contact. Elizabeth Shelby. Captain Shelby or Commander Shelby.
You're right.
32 years, 6 months, 20 days between Best of Both Worlds Part 2 and Box on Star Trek Picard.
You're right.
Thaddeon Okona was number 2 slot. 33 years, 11 months, 5 days. The Outrageous Okona to Crossroads, which was on Star Trek Prodigy.
Okay.
And number 1.
On Prodigy.
You want to guess number 1? Number 1? Any takers? Any guesses? No. Okay. Nobody's guessing.
No.
Number 1 is the Punk on a Bus.
Oh.
30, oh shit.
35 years, 3 months, 26 days.
What was the song that from he's the voyage home? Like, the song's all like, I don't like you. Or it's like, I don't, or I hate you, or something like that. Yeah.
Because he's on Picard.
I hate you. Yeah. And I berate you.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. That song's
and
awesome.
I don't give a fuck about you. Something along those lines. Yes, he was in Watcher. There was the Voyage Home and Watcher.
Speaking of cool, like rockin' tunes they make just for shows, I'm pretty sure they made that just for the movie. That song just for the movie. I think it was made by like the sound guy or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was.
Wasn't it made by that guy that is listening to it?
Actually, that show.
Maybe I don't know.
Because, and this also relates because this is kind of like they reference sort of Star Wars stuff in this episode. Ahsoka, like there's this in the first episode. There's this awesome like rockin' song that was. I guess supposed
to check that out.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be like Huddy's like band. Or
it's
something.
Not jizz music.
No, it's like Huddy's punk. Or
I'm
something.
Very aggravated that Disney has changed jizz music. They said
Huddy's.
It's not jizz music anymore. They call it something else. They call it like fucking splat music. I forget what it was. Cum music. I don't remember.
They call it
they changed it something. Yeah, skeet music.
Wait, is that how you? Is Jesse Huddy's? Huddy's?
I mean, I was just asking. Were you referring to the language that the Hutts speak?
Yeah, that's a Huddy's punk band.
Are you saying some other kind of word?
I thought you were talking about John Madden 93 on Sega Genesis.
No, that's why I was asking you, Jesse, because I realized saying Huddy. Because I was realizing that saying Huddy's sounds weird. It sounds like saying at ease. But
I didn't know if you were saying like Huddy Ledbetter or something.
I was saying of the Hutts. Of the Hutts.
Okay.
And that
okay.
was an awesome song that you should listen to as well.
It is.
From the first episode of Ahsoka.
Another awesome thing are the people that are being sought after. And so we get this at the beginning of this show, at the beginning of the episode, Captain Freeman says basically, okay, we're looking for these three people. We are four people. We need
seven of nine. Beverly Crusher, yes. Thomas Riker,
Nick Locarno.
Nick
Locarno.
Thomas
Nick?
Riker.
And we need to get them back. We don't know why. It's not explained to the audience exactly how they connect to this.
Ooh. I bet we'll find out next
white ship.
Week.
And then Boimler's all like,
oh my God, we're going to meet Beverly Crusher?
Yes.
But he doesn't get excited for Seven of Nine or Thomas Riker. Of course, I understand why not Thomas Riker.
Well,
but
because as Jesse from Crusher Condo, Crusher Condo, that's going to be their new venture, the Crusher Convo podcast, which I do believe is they're collecting investments for the Crusher Condo special. It's going to be a housing place.
I'll buy it.
Where you can buy in, and the only rule is you have to be all like every day you gotta be like Beverly Crusher rocks.
Because you're living in Crusher City.
All right, but Jesse from Crusher Convo, she wrote us on Twitter and was like, "Hey, when you talk about this episode, be sure to mention that Boimler is clearly a Bevhead."
Yes,
Because not only does he get excited here, as you note, and not at all excited about the other people, but later he has that dream where he's like, "Teach me to tap dance, Beverly.
Teach me how to tap dance, Beverly Crusher."
And he does a little, he's doing a little dance in his sleep.
Yeah,
it's so cute.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's seven of them. Nine's cool, but the other two are duds. Man.
I don't know, right? They're all, I mean, well,
Thomas Riker, come on.
Well, okay, so this is what I want to get at, right?
Oh my God, we're going to meet Beverly Crusher?
what I want to get at is you got this list of four people. We're not clear on exactly why they're going after them or quote unquote
funny,
rescuing them.
It's funny that they have Nick Locarno because it's funny that they, because Boimler has like a Paris, Tom Paris yes. commemorative plate, but, yes. then, but then they're like specifically bringing up Nick Locarno.
Well, so. And the thing is that all four of these people at this stage, at 2381, 2382, I forget exactly when this is taking place, but somewhere
hut, hut, in that hike. That sounded like John Madden when you said 2182, 2083. Hut, hut, hike. That yeah. sounds like John Madden.
Yeah. All right. Good job. Well done. Dan looks very pleased with himself.
But, not.
But all four of them have some sort of beef or potential beef.
Where's
or
the
perceived
beef?
With Starfleet.
Where do you perceive the beef?
Because 7 of 9 wanted to join Starfleet after Voyager returned home, which was only a few years prior to when Lower Decks takes place. But
no
Starfleet's like, yeah, they're prejudiced against Borg, so they're like, no. So she's off at this stage, she's off doing either her own thing or she's already joined the Fenris Rangers. We know that from Picard. She's off kind of doing
Danger. Phoenix Hunters.
But she's not happy
Phoenix
with
Hunters?
Starfleet.
Did you say then, Phoenix Hunters, Jesse?
He said Penis Hunters.
What?
I don't know what he said, but it's funny to me. He
said Phoenix Hunters.
Oh, the oh, because
that's
the,
what
yes,
I
the,
thought he
the,
said.
That's the
Patrick made it dirty. Anyway.
Okay, all right. But Beverly Crusher,
I got sticks in my boots.
Beverly Crusher, also at this stage, I believe she's already cut off contact with her friends and crew and stuff. So people don't really know where she's at. And I think there's a perception that she's, since she's working in non-Starfleet areas doing medical stuff, that maybe she has a beef with Starfleet. Thomas Riker was part of the Maquis. And last week,
Thomas Riker.
He was sent to a Cardassian prison, which we presume all the Maquis were exterminated by the Dominion and the Cardassians. So I think there's a long assumption that Thomas Riker must be dead, but that's not for sure. And this seems to give a suggestion that people don't think he's dead, that the Starfleet has tabs on him somehow. If somebody's going to go, quote unquote, try to retrieve him, they must have some clue that he's alive. So that's sort of interesting just in and of itself that that's going on. And then Nick Locarno, of course, we find out at the end of the episode, yes, okay, he's involved in all this business. But yeah, when you're just first seeing this list, it's like, oh, here's another person. He's jumped out of Starfleet Academy. He's got a beef against Starfleet. Who knows what he's getting up to at this moment. So that's the one thing that they all have potentially in common is this sort of like, they're not cool with Starfleet at the moment or not cool with the Federation, or at least there's a perception that that might be the case.
Mm. Star Wars, right? This is like, they did Star Wars references in this episode.
Yes, I did. It's excellent.
Yeah. A lot of visuals, Star Wars.
Excellent segue, by the way.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Right.
It's like how Patrick just said a bunch of shit. Now I'm just going to say Star Wars.
Okay. Let's see.
Star Wars. I agree with you, though. Yes, there's a lot of
no,
Star Wars.
No, I'm trying to figure out, because it seems like you said it all just then. So I was trying to like figure out.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
It's good
maybe
information.
Maybe there's nothing to discuss about it, but I just don't know what the deal is with all the with these four people. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
right.
Where
did they pick Thomas Riker?
And what are we going to see in the next episode? Are we going to see Seven of Nine? Are we going to see Thomas Riker? Are we going to see Beverly Crusher?
So yeah, your whole point.
All three of them are plausible. All three of their actors have acted recently on other Star Trek shows.
I wasn't paying close enough attention because
you kept thinking about fucking Star Wars.
The connection you were drawing was that they all might have beef with Star Trek or Star Trek
with Star Trek
with Starfleet.
It's fine. It's good enough.
Starfleet. You are Starfleet. The Enterprise.
Now we know.
Nick Locarno.
Nick Locarno.
The Enterprise.
Hey, Dan, do you like the Enterprise or the Enterprise D?
I'm not going to answer that question.
The Enterprise.
The Enterprise.
He's nuts.
What do you like better, Discovery or Voyager?
Land, Nagus.
Voyage these balls.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Do you think that'll play into anything next episode, like these four people, or just Nick? I mean, Nick Locarno obviously will be.
One would presume that maybe the initial
maybe he's
list,
not even in the next one. That's
maybe
really
the initial
funny.
List was to distract from Nick Locarno because it's like, oh, maybe it's one of these other people, but I don't know. Maybe these other people are going to become involved somehow.
Whoa, hey, relax.
We know the Vancouver is scooting around trying to find Beverly Crusher. We don't know exactly what happens there.
That's true.
That is true.
So do you think okay.
All right.
Do you think
wait a minute.
Do you guys say Trekkers or Trekkies, or do you say neither?
I don't have much call for either of them, but I'm fine with both of them.
Do you think people who are fans of Star Trek have any kind of issue with the fact that this was like a super blatant Star Wars kind of episode? Because let's see, they went to New Axton, which was like Tatooine, and they went to
it was very Tatooine-y.
And then
they went to
Sherbal 5.
That shuttle was straight out of fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, the shuttle looked like Attack of the Clones or a speeder type thing.
Yeah, right. So they went to Sherbal 5 was kind of at the end like the moon of Endor, but at the beginning it was a little
different. They had one of those Return of the Jedi bunker things.
Ordered to the Sherbal system.
Yeah, you're right. Like the satellite bunker.
That's what I just fucking said. I just said it's like the moon. Oh, I guess I didn't say that.
You didn't specify that. Okay, you were referring more to the.
Back it
to
up.
The
oh no,
to
I'm
the
sorry.
The foliage.
My bad. No, you're right. You're right. So yeah, so at the first part of that, it was just kind of whatever. But yeah, at the end, like they even played. They had some Star Wars-y music. I played one earlier, but this was when they were on the moon of Endor part with the station. This is actually kind of long.
I'm trying to protect Locarno from people like this.
You should have thought
would you
that
call this Star Wars music?
Yes, I would.
Aw, Starfleet. It's hard. Looks like your little mission has failed.
Yeah. The little dudes in the
dun. And then there was this. It's kind of Star Wars,
yeah. Or Holtzy.
Destroy it!
It's shielded by those rock formations.
I don't care. Take us closer.
And Holtz. And then there, yeah, Holtz planets. And then there was this
Star Wars
one.
Star was pretty Holtzy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this was.
For the Empire!
Like when they're out, like when they're flying through the Millennium Falcon and they're shooting at all those ships.
Or in that Nintendo 64 game, Shadows of the Empire, when you're like on the train.
Well, that was taken from, I think that was lifted directly from.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just like a slightly different arrangement.
Do you think there was any kind of issue that people had by like associating so closely with Star Wars?
I noticed that as well, and I don't recall seeing anything on the old internets. At least not in the little holes and hovels that I tend to populate on the internet.
Ordered to the Sherbal system. Ordered to the Sherbal system. Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system.
Lost Boimler.
Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system.
Lost Boimler.
Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system.
Lost Boimler.
Yeah, all right. That's interesting.
Did you like that beat? That was a beat.
I didn't. I like Jesse.
Girls trip.
Free balling the beat. Isn't that what it's called? That's the term when you just come up with something off the top of your head. It's called free balling.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the term, right? That's the term of art.
Yeah.
Free balling.
You want to solve puzzles and mysteries?
We're going to cause some trouble together. Trouble together. Trouble together. Trouble together.
Does it sound like he's saying "prubble" when I say it like this?
Trouble together.
Prubble.
Crubble.
Prubble together.
But he's saying
Barney we're going to cause some trouble together.
Now that's a
beat.
My mind.
Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system.
Lost Boimler.
That was free balling.
Girls trip.
That's free balling.
Free balling.
So there was, and then, right. So when the Cerritos talked to that dude when they were approaching New Axton, he was all wearing some Imperial style garb.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That guy.
And then asking for he wasn't asking for the codes, but it was basically the
what do you think you're doing?
The asking for the code setup. And then they had the space balls. Planetary entrance. I know they've had it in Star Wars as well, like in Rogue One and stuff like that. But
come on down.
To me, that's the Spaceballs, like the atmospheric gate. You know where you have to go through like the hull.
Yeah,
that's the Spaceballs.
And
oh shit! There goes the planet and such things. You know, Spaceballs. That's a parody of both Star Wars and Star Wars.
Oh,
among other things, Alien,
Planet of the Apes,
and Planet of the Apes as well.
The whole thing when she Freeman thought that the information broker was a puppet. That kind of was like
that was hilarious.
That was like a Star Wars thing. Which there's the information that I was wondering about the information.
That was more of a straight up Star Trek joke because of that. That was a puppet, like in the TOS. It was all
TOS puppet.
It was a TOS like puppet, and that's that scary guy who always shows.
Oh,
up
you're
the
right.
End.
Because if it was Star Wars, they probably would have said Muppets. But so
Ewoks.
Good point.
Yeah,
I
made a solid point.
Jabba the Hutt.
Solid poops.
So with this, and this is an aside.
Big
when Freeman was when Freeman was looking for the information broker, which actually the information broker was a dude in the game Mass Effect, which I bring up from time to time. There's some dude called the information broker. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how like many places that they refer to the information broker.
I think it's
broker.
A fairly generic term. It seems information
like, well,
broker.
It seems like a generic term. It
Somebody
does.
Somebody who brokers information.
But like, would you say like the information broker? I would think you would say a vigilation broker.
Well, it depends on how many information brokers are in a particular locality.
So I would say...
If you have the type of locality that has one information broker...
I'm just saying, well, okay, but I guess you could...
Then it's the information broker. It's like the baker. I'm going to the baker.
Well, I guess you could...
Where are you headed, honey? I'll be right back.
Okay, I fucking get it.
I'm just headed to a baker.
Okay.
I'm going to a baker. Sorry.
Point made. But when she thought... So we established that Freeman was like, you know, playing everyone all along. You know, she wasn't really as naive as she led on to be. But then when she shook up the information broker, do you think that was a real mistake? Or do you think that that was all part of her plan to shake the...
I think she was looking to fuck somebody up. And she fucked that dude up.
But do you think she really thought that that was a puppet? That's my question.
No, I don't think so, because if you...
You're right.
The guy says, I wasn't going to sell the information to anyone, but now because you fucked me up, I'm going to sell it to this dude.
That's what...
So that presumably... that's a weak part of the plot, by the way, because it's like... there's a lot riding on the fact there's like, if I assault this guy, he will do what I want. I'm tricking him into doing what I want.
I mean, that's not... I don't blame Star Trek for that.
It's just stretching it a little.
No, I'm saying, the reason I'm not blaming Star Trek for that is because that's common among a lot of like shows and stuff like that.
What would happen if I came over there and fucked you up right now?
Like, have you ever watched...
I just fucking shook you around.
There's... If you watch like other shows where they have this sort of intricate chain of events...
I don't watch other shows.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I get it. You're right. That's my fault. That's me being bad.
If you watch other shows... where there's an intricate chain of events that going on that are sort of predicated on the idea that you don't know something, and then it's a big reveal at the end that they knew all along, or there was some trickery. If you rewatch those steps, there's usually a few things along the way that were like you said, there's a lot riding on it. I agree, Patrick, that she must have known that he wasn't the information broker. They weren't a puppet. But then if that's the case, which it probably is, that's fucked up, because
he looked pretty upset.
Yeah, she fucked
him
up.
Dingling.
Yeah,
it was she so like excellent. Fucking. Just that joke of Rutherford scanning him, being like, he's got all sorts of internal organs.
Yeah. So then that's fucked up that she would just fucking like sort of not only shake some innocent dude around, but also sort of like make fun of the way he looks. You know, isn't that kind of like saying like, oh, you look like a fucking puppet? That's objectifying and reductive.
And apparently, it's A-okay if you're undercover and on a Starfleet mission. But you know what it is? What is not fucked up? Take a guess.
Oh, is this something?
Taking another break?
That's right, Jesse. Jesse wins the prize. Winner, winner. Triple dinner. It's time for a break. We will take a break now, and then we'll be back after the break. Be right back after the break. Okay, we're back. We have returned from the break.
Right.
We're ready to conclude our discussion of the inner fight.
When we were just talking about how that was fucked up, that you know, she sort of mishandled whatever the not puppet thing.
No, I think manhandling is the correct.
This is another example of them kind of taking lightly like the actuality of what's going on, because at the beginning, you know, with the whole
your eyes shoot out of your head,
like. First of all, the way he put that made it seem like all they have to do is touch you and your eyes fly out of your head. Yeah. And if you remember, that's exactly what happened to that dude. He got attacked by one of those
venomous tremble lizards.
And so,
it's gonna happen to you.
Do you think that tremble lizard? It made it seem like that tremble lizard was like chewing his eyes out. But according to what he was saying, all they had to do was touch you.
It's a venom thing.
Yeah. And so what I was saying is they didn't treat that like the big deal it kind of was. Like, Boimler and them were just standing there just like, oh man, this is kind of fucked
Boimler
up.
Boimler went to go help.
But when in actuality, this dude's eyes are flying out of their head and they didn't see that face. Much like in Agamas when he when Agamas enslaved a whole planet, that was also, they sort of casually threw away. I know they're just for jokes, but like, when you think about it, it's kind of fucked up. You know?
I agree.
I shooting, like a robot taking over a planet. I shooting out of someone's head in front of you, mm-hmm. and then like objectifying and reducifying this person, calling them a puppet and shaking them around. That's
well, I think Starfleet has a lot to answer for.
I agree.
This is what we were talking about earlier with Mariner having an internal battle about the positives and negatives.
It's not
of
all. That was cracked up.
But that was an aside. There was a couple other Star Wars things. We already mentioned the moon of Endor, and Jesse, you mentioned the satellite. And I'm sorry, I snapped at you earlier because you were totally right, and I was totally wrong.
I meant like the bunker thing.
Yeah, the bunker thing. You were right. I didn't mention that. So I was just like pre-prepared to get all mad about something. When Mariner gets beamed away, Vrek goes, "This is a trap," and I'm wondering if that's like.
It's a trap.
Although if it was, though,
Classic Star Wars lore.
If they would have, although if it was related, they probably would have just said, it's a trap. They probably wouldn't have said, this is a trap. And then Mariner is in the, I don't know. I couldn't tell if she was at the part when she was in Locarno's ship and she goes,
"What in the minimalist hell?"
I couldn't tell if that was some kind of Star Wars joke or something. Which
I don't think
about
so.
No, I don't think that's a Star Wars.
It was a decoration joke.
Yeah, it was a decoration joke. It was a decoration joke. But some of the inside ships are like sci-fi. Often has very minimalist inside.
Maybe it's
decor.
Trying to tell us something in relative to Star Trek lore.
I was just saying,
nothing's coming to mind immediately.
I was just saying, I think it's common to have like these insides of like other ships be all like minimalist and just some kind of white background.
Maybe the ship is from the future.
Like,
it kind of looked like one of those future ships from Discovery.
Yeah, I was just about to say the space station in Discovery, that was all like white and sterile or whatever. You know, so that probably wasn't one. Do you ever read an article and it's all like talking about Star Wars and they go like, "I have a bad feeling about this," because you know they say that a bunch of times in Star Wars.
Yeah. They say like, "We've got company." That's another Star
We've
Wars
got company.
Thing.
I don't like it.
We've got company.
I don't like it at all.
And then of course Billups. That was like definitely like a Star Wars, but yeah, his crazy angular dagger ship was
also,
definitely Star Wars.
It's also the Billups helmet thing. The voice is similar to like the brain.
Never go over my helmet.
Well, yes, that's all. Yes, good on you. And there's another Spaceballs reference.
Yeah,
bounty hunters. That's some Star Wars shit.
It's more like I went around your helmet.
I like what they were talking about. There was MUDs.
Yes,
and
bounty hunters.
There was MUDs, and Zorkies was like the shitty version of MUD.
I forgot about Zorkies. Zorkies was great.
And he was talking about how they're like black market intel isn't as good, which is kind of funny. It made me think of like Lord of the Rings. Legend of the Red Dragon. I was thinking Legend of the Red Dragon spells Lord.
Yes.
Remember that door game?
Yes, it was a door game on a bulletin board system, a.k.a. BBS. Dan ran one, and I ran one for a number of years. Back in the 1990s.
And it reminded me, I don't remember if it was like the bartender or the bard that you talked to and you'd like give them some money and they'd give you some kind of secret tip about something. But that's like a common trope about like, but it was a funny.
Sort of like an information broker.
I don't know about that.
I agree. I think there's a lot of Star
Wars
stuff.
That was a funny joke talking about buying black market information like you'd buy a drink because that's a trope.
Well, I think it's interesting because the Star Wars stuff in this episode seemed to be overt and acute and on purpose.
I'm acute.
And yet you are. You are
I
acute.
Am acute.
You are so acute.
You're the cute. But I'm a little at a
grand magus.
I'm at a bit of a loss as to exactly where they're going with this, why they're doing this overt Star Wars stuff.
I don't know either.
You know, there's been critiques I think that we shared a little bit that like the first few episodes of Prodigy, for example, were a little bit more in the Star Wars mold.
Oh, like the pilot, at least I think it was a two part. Was it a two-parter?
The two-part
pilot. That one was straight up like Star Wars, like
it
a Star
really
Wars animation. And then
very
and it made
Star
me
Wars.
Really worried. I wasn't like legitimately worried, but I was.
You were shaking in your fucking boots.
I was Patrick. I'm calling you on the phone. I never call you. I usually text.
He called me on a landline. I don't even have a landline. I don't know how he managed.
You were
it.
Like losing sleep.
Yeah, like I couldn't. Texting wasn't good enough. I had to call him like a maniac. But the first episode I was like, this is just going to be a Star Wars show, and then they proved that on the second,
quite the opposite,
that it was actually a really good show.
And it's
actually Star Trek.
Prodigy is real, really extra
actually,
Star
Battlestar
Trek.
Battlestar Galactica.
I mean, some episodes are the most Star Trek thing you're ever going to fucking find on the planet.
I am the information broker. I am the information broker.
that's never been an issue with Lower Decks. Lower Decks has always been very Star Trek, specifically very 1990s era Star Trek, an evolution just a few years past that, the eras we're familiar with TNG, DS9, and Voyager. So they made these creative choices for some reason. Who knows? Maybe the second half of the two-parter will help clarify that, or maybe they're just doing it for fun. We did hear earlier in the season, I think I mentioned, it was when I was on Let's Talk About Treks, I think there was a comment or somebody, it's all mixed together in my head now, but somebody who was not me was pointing out that some of the producers had mentioned something about pulling not just from Star Trek references, but pulling from outside of Star Trek to other entertainment. We saw an example of Boimler sort of dying and going to like the Red Room from Twin Peaks.
Right.
Star Trek version of that.
I mean, even the titles, like there was that one title a few weeks ago that was referenced to something totally unrelated to sci-fi at all.
Yeah.
What was that?
Parth Ferengi's Heart Place was a parody of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which is an excellent British television show with Matt Berry and Matthew Holness, Richard Ayoade, and others.
The episode where they go to the collector and there's all that stuff, like they have the big dead Spock too. But
I am the information broker. That had
some non-Star Trek stuff in it, right?
Did it? Maybe.
Some of the artifacts. There
well, regard the of... point. The point being that the producers have mentioned. They mentioned that they're into doing this, and that there's been references to like Alien and all sorts of other stuff. So, this may be just an example of that, where they're like, you know, we wanted to be more overt and have a fun Star Warsy planet because it fits with the plot that we're doing. This episode is about going to the seedy underworld. Why not do the Tatooine style?
Yeah, new Axton. Tatooine, but Sherbal 5.
Order to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Sherbal system.
Plus Boimler.
Sherbal system. That was not a planet. That was not equivalent.
What if it was the Sherbal
system? That was a planet in Lower Decks, but it was equivalent to the Star Wars moon of Endor, which was a moon. So Sherbal was analogous to the moon of Endor.
It could have
not
been the
Endor
moon
itself.
Of Yavin, too.
Yeah, it could have been. By the way, information brokers use their well-honed research skills to help businesses and individuals who are searching for specific information. I got that from howtobecomealibrarian.com. So apparently librarians are also known as information brokers. So I guess you can use the term information broker to mean more than just Mass Effect or Star Trek Lower Decks.
All right, good. Well, now I'm glad that we've
I know the words equal that. I just didn't know that's something people said. You know, I didn't know that people often said it, but apparently librarians are called information brokers.
All right, good. It's an excellent, excellent fact to learn today.
Is it well honed? It's not well owned. It's well honed.
It's well honed. unless you own it. If you're playing a video game, then it's well pwned.
There was an episode of Night Court where like there was this guy Herb who died and this is why I told you not to say the punchline, because you got it all the fucking wrong.
Okay, we can beep that out, and then we'll beep out the punchline.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so Herb gets cremated, and then Dan, who is played by John Larroquette, he comes in, and he makes some hot tea, and then Harry says, Dan, that's not Herb tea. That's Herb, because he put Herb's ashes instead. And I have to rewatch the episode.
Wouldn't it be herbal tea?
That's what I'm saying. Like I have to rewatch the episode because I feel like he said that's not Herb tea. But there's no Herb tea. There's Herb tea. So I want to know if he said that's not Herb tea. That's Herb. But that makes the joke less funny. Or did he say that's not Herb tea? That's Herb. That makes the joke funnier, but it makes less sense.
And we're gonna stipulate that we understand that in the UK often it is pronounced Herb,
herbal
context.
Yeah,
in
this would make make sense if it was this was in the UK. But where did Night Court take place? In like Chicago or something?
New York.
Oh, I know.
The Brooklyn Bridge is like
and then the bass goes doo-doo, doo-doo.
You used to play that like every band practice.
You have to forgive me, it was a long time ago, so I didn't remember there was a Brooklyn Bridge in it.
I remember it slightly differently.
That Plus same, Boimler.
That same episode is identical punchline, except I freely admit that I could be wrong because this was long ago. I remember it as it was Harry Anderson and his dad, and it was Harry Anderson drinking the tea made of herb, and his dad, who was played Gomez Adams on the Adams Family.
Is his name Jerry Anderson?
No, but he was the adoptive father. John Astin played Harry Anderson's father. John Astin is the adoptive father of Sean.
What, you mean
Astin.
Samwise Gamgee?
Yes, Samwise Gamgee.
That's Sean
Samwise Gamgee is the son of Patty Duke.
Patty
Duke show.
And Sean Astin was also in a movie with Kevin Bacon where Kevin Bacon was a bad youth group leader.
But John Astin is not Sean Astin's biological father, but when he married Patty Duke, he adopted Sean Astin as his own.
A warrior.
Okay. That all being said, I heard it as Sean Astin saying, like, Harry.
You mean John Astin?
No, yes, yeah, sorry. You're correct. John Astin saying, Harry, that's not herb tea. That's herb. I think the characters might be different, but otherwise.
Oh, are you still saying the characters might be different? Yeah. But I mean, it was the same thing, idea though, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same idea. But nobody cares about it.
Yeah, I know. But you might be right. This is a long time ago. I didn't remember the Brooklyn Bridge in the opening of. I remember the song. I don't remember the. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Do you remember the Alamo?
Fuck the Alamo.
Remember that scene in Big Top? Oh, not Big Top Pee Wee. Whoever references Big Top Pee Wee. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
They know what's good for them.
Yeah. The Pee Wee's Big Adventure, they talk about, he's all like, I remember the Alamo.
Yeah,
the Alamo.
That's kind of why I said it. Not because I care about the Alamo.
I remember.
Just care about Pee-wee.
I can't do a Pee-wee. I can't do Pee-wee. I remember the Alamo. I can't. He doesn't make that noise. How does he?
What you can do is you can do a Star Wars, Star Trek podcast. I almost said Star Wars podcast.
Okay.
Maybe that'll be next. I just briefly, before we close things down, because we are coming up on the end of the show, I did want to talk a little bit about Locarno and his past and his motivation.
Well, we haven't even really talked about the whole, like, Cardassians and Romulans and Ferengis.
Well, you know, it's all fairly obvious.
Yeah, I guess.
The command crew of each of the ships.
But I mean,
has been stranded on Sherbal 5. They're fighting
ordered
with each
to the
other.
Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Sherbal system. Ordered to the Sherbal system. Sherbal system.
Mariner.
Plus Boimler.
Ma. Mariner and Ma.
Okay.
Ma. Help bring peace and get them to work together in order to fight the true enemy.
Was this?
I am Ma.
It kind of looked like the same Klingon from that episode a few seasons back from
Wage Douche.
From Wage Douge.
Yeah, he was the captain.
So yeah, it's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
Yes.
Douge.
Chai to Douge.
Benach.
And that's an.
I will drive my duck tongue into their hearts.
That's why
I'm not intimidated by some tore up petak.
I enjoyed all of that stuff. It's just there's like the thing to discuss there is the result of that, which is like, why is Locarno doing this? Why is he going around to all these different people?
Well, that's what they'll tell us next week. They'll tell us that next week.
I know, but I mean, part of the point is to speculate a little bit because.
But we'll know in 7 days. So why are you so impatient?
I'm not impatient.
You're just
curious because I think there's a couple directions they might want to go. First of all, for the background on Locarno, for the people who aren't familiar with the TNG episode, The First Duty, Locarno, the reason the character exists in the first place is because it's a Wesley episode where Wesley's at the academy and Wesley is a goody two shoes. But in this episode, it turns out he did something naughty. And what that was is he was on this fancy flying team and they performed an illegal stunt.
It was called the nuclear star blast or something.
Yeah, Dan's got it right on the money. No need to look it up. That's exactly what it was. It was called the nuclear star blast.
Yeah, it's not allowed because they had to go too close and blow up their ship. And then when you blow up your ship,
they light their like impulse wake or whatever. Whatever it was. The whole
you
point
like to
of the
finish
episode,
my you like to finish my sentences.
It's because I love you, Dan.
it is because we finish each other's
sandwiches.
Oh yeah,
sandwiches. Wow.
So Locarno and Wesley
and
Cito
Jackson.
Not Jackson. Cito Jackson. And the guy who died. I forget his name.
I forget his name.
And Mariner apparently was hanging around at this time. But.
Now I'm finishing your sentences.
That's not what that is.
I guess I'm doing something subtly different.
That's much different.
But what happened was, is they all got put on like trial,
before.
Basically not trial, but you know, like administrative, whatever. They got in trouble, and there was an inquest, and Locarno
Picard got disappointed.
Yeah, because see, Locarno was the nominal like leader of this group, and he
you were like nominal leader group,
and he influenced the others to lie, basically.
Right.
To protect themselves. He was all about protecting
all
the team.
He was all about protecting the team. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
In the end of the episode, he does prove himself.
He does prove himself by the end of the episode.
Somewhat, because...
A little bit, but not fully, because he still did a fucked
trouble,
up thing.
He agrees to take the
fall. He does take the fall, but then, like, he still had to suffer for his punishment. He suffered for his wrongdoing.
Starfleet Academy.
So he's getting punished for it.
And the others,
but
including
Wesley
and
he regains
Cito,
a little bit of his honor.
Their prior year's credits are canceled, right? So that holds them back a little bit, right? And then Picard's all disappointed.
Even their bonus points,
yeah. Super disappointed.
It's the first duty. It's
what
an
they should have gotten bonus points for doing the nuclear star blast, but then also they were punished because you're not allowed to do the nuclear star blast. But because it's so difficult, they should have gotten bonus points, canceling each other out, meaning that it's just the same.
Yeah, that's what they do in like Harry Potter, and it's not really a good way to. You know, promote
points.
Good order.
Yeah,
in a military.
It's presenting
situation.
Somewhat of a mixed message.
Yeah, if you get away with it, it's fine.
That's
like how white people are raised. Like, if you get away with it, it's fine. And by the way, we'll help you get away with it.
You're gonna get away with a lot of stuff.
We got like a whole team of people who are ready. They're standing by.
They're working for you.
To help you get away with it. We're three white men.
A bunch of money.
We can state that with certainty. That is how the world
I didn't
works.
State anything, just for the record. Yes. I didn't state anything.
Yeah. Dan lives in North Arlington.
I didn't state anything for or against. I'm just not part of this discussion.
Well, because you're intelligent. Dan is smart. Okay. No, but Locarno's motivation, he was friends with Cito, Ensign Cito. She died.
Cito was a warrior.
It could be that they're out. They think that Cito's not dead. We never saw a body. We just heard a radio communique from the radio, subspace or whatever, from the Cardassians.
Oh, so you think Cito
saying,
might be alive? I don't.
Well,
see,
that's
don't
one
know.
Direction they could go. Now, people online, when this has been brought up, people online have argued that might be sort of dramatically neutering the conclusion to...
Yeah. There's no reason to bring her
the
back.
TNG's
there's
lower
no, there's,
decks.
There's no reason to bring her back. There's well, absolutely no... Because we haven't... No, wait,
be,
wait, because we you, haven't we haven't gained any sort of, like, relationship with Cito. We don't know anything about her other than stories told in the lower decks from Star Trek Next Generation. Yeah. But there's just nothing... There's nothing gained by bringing her back, really.
You're arguing that other people are agreeing with you and saying that would be a problem and would undercut it for very little or no gain. Other people are saying, like, actually, well, the gain would be it would give
Mariner a reason to, like, want to try again or something.
Well, more specifically,
she should be able to learn that on her own, though.
It's a potential motivator for what Locarno is doing. Now, there's a
million you're saying it's not because. No, it has nothing to do with Mariner. It's just meant as a motivation for Locarno.
It has to do with Mariner in the sort of side connection fact. But
they're not talking.
Potential...
But they're not talking about Cito comes back and now Mariner's all like different now because Cito's back.
No,
something.
Well, that I agree that would if that happened, I think that would be dramatically uninteresting.
Yeah, she's got to get over that shit on her own.
Yeah, but that doesn't preclude the idea that Cito comes back in some fashion. I think that there's ways you could do it that would not be sort of dramatically and narratively annoying. But I also could see a lot of pitfalls where you'd be like, I don't know.
That Pitfall. Does sort of, that was a great game. Things. Pitfall.
Played
it on the Apple II Plus.
But on the other hand, you're like, okay, if Locarno wants to rescue Cito, well, why is he like getting all these pirate guys?
If he wants to rescue Cito, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, he's conspired.
We'll have to wait and see, though.
Yeah, I get it.
We'll have to wait and see, though.
Yeah.
Cito.
What?
Yeah,
explain that one. I don't get it.
No, Jesse. This is the point in the show where we have to ignore these things.
we have to
moving
finish
forward.
The podcast.
We have to finish the podcast because Dan's using all of his incredible might,
nefarious
his tools.
It's all self defense. It's all self defense.
He's also got this team of pirate, or for lack of a better term, I don't know what you call them, but like he's convinced members of the lower decks of a number of different groups. He seems to it's almost like a menagerie of alpha and beta quadrant powers, and he's grabbing these ships. Now none of them are the most powerful ships. None of the crews seem to particularly, the crews aren't particularly skilled. So it's like, what's he doing? Like, why does he need those ships? Why does he need those people? Right? He's got to, he needs them for something, right? That I don't know. I'm like you said, we'll find out next week.
There was a Klingon named Ma'a. There was a Romulan named Vrek. There was a Vulcan. It looked like a Vulcan. Look, that's all I could think it was. There was at the very end they showed. Then there was two Cardassians. There was two Ferengi. There was two Orions and two Binars.
Yeah.
Do Binars always go in pairs? I forget.
They like to be in pairs.
Yeah.
We got
a little of the Mistress of the Winter Constellation. Because all the other people were afraid of Ma'a, and so the way they won over the Orions is by having the Mistress of the Winter Constellation. So that's because Ma'a already like intimidated all the rest of them, but like not the Orions because they were tough. Did you see when she was fighting Ma'a, like she did an awesome jump kick and right when she kicked him in the face, the lightning struck.
It was great.
And she gave him like not one but two double axe handle double fist punches in a row.
There's some great, if you go through that fight scene like frame by frame, mm-hmm. there's some amazing framing shots of that fight. Now this episode actually has a lot of beautiful shots in it. Mariner overlooking the alien forest and all that other stuff.
So I was gonna say after there was the
stupid knife rain.
Knife rain.
That was the knife rain.
That's good.
I was particularly impressed by when they went up that tree originally before the fight, when they went up in that super tree.
Yeah.
And when they all like, you know, were, that's when Boimler was all talking about teaching me how to tap dance.
Yeah.
That awesome tree with this big like clearing in the tree that was big enough for all of them to sleep with plenty of room. All I could think about is how I'd want to sit up there and like play games, either like magic or like video games or something. And also in enjoy nature too. But like if I had a little pad.
Read a book.
Wouldn't it be awesome to have
just cook some omelets up there.
An idea that a tree was so big that you could have your own clearing that was big enough for like a homestead.
Were you into the Gummy Bears TV show?
Yeah, I watched some Gummy Bears TV show. Didn't they have tree houses though?
But it's carved into a tree.
What I was talking about is the fact that this is just a fucking tree. Yeah. Nothing was carved into it.
The natural aspect.
What I was saying is the tree is big enough that it allows for a surface. Because I'm into big things, like when you look and see big monsters and big grapplers and things like that. You know, big stuff. You know, like remember in Star Trek, was it Star Trek V when they were supposed to have big? Wasn't that the one where they were supposed?
They were supposed to have big rock monsters.
That would have been awesome. I liked in Return of the King when there was the big elephants or whatever they're called.
Oliphants,
you know,
Timothy Oliphant.
I like big monsters. You know, like Pacific Rim had some big.
Is there
kaiju.
Any? Hey, real quick question: is there anything else big that you like and that you won't lie about it?
That I won't lie about it?
Yeah, something that's big.
You cannot lie.
And you simply could not lie about it.
Are you talking about cuts?
Yes.
Like on my arm?
Yes. Dan, we've been meaning to talk to you about that. If you need any help, let us know.
When I'm hungry, I like nuts.
Okay.
You like big nuts?
Yeah, they're good. They're tasty.
Things that rhyme with butts. Okay. Any other concluding points? Because
he was getting at butts. We do need to
close things down, shut things down, shut the podcast down. Keep the podcast at the appropriate expected length.
I liked when they jumped into that bird of prey at the end when they all jumped off the cliff into that thing.
I like that. It just ripped apart the hull. Just ripped open the hull.
Yeah.
Which you'd like to think it wouldn't be a possible thing, but they got it to work.
Because they were about to jump out to, you know, warp or whatever, and then somebody was like, "No, wait a minute! they're already through."
I like when they were on the comm buoy. Like, I like any type of space scene.
Say that again.
The comm buoy, not buoy Maryland, but the comm buoy.
Comm buoy.
I like the scene. I like scenes like that where it's like out in the middle.
It's spelled differently.
It goes in the same sort of direction as why I like large things. It's this idea that you're in space, which is an infinite. You know, or seemingly infinite, you know, landscape of nothingness or something. There's lots of stuff up there, but you know what I'm getting at. But and they're all standing on a bridge and it's like way up in space and it's like, oh my God, what if they fell off? You know, it's like, oh God, what if they fell off into space? Oh no. And then there was a comm buoy and they were just, and they were just walking
across into space.
You know, that was awesome.
you remember You remember that time?
When Talyn was saying that thing about...
It will be 2.47 times more perilous if you remain uninformed of the details.
See, it's obvious
clever if simplistic or reverse psychology.
It was obvious that Talyn was trying to trick her into being safe, because if that were actually true what she was saying, she would have told her right away. She
would have told her right away?
Because she was saying it's more perilous if you remain uninformed. If that were true, she would have said it earlier, because she'd want Mariner to be safe, you know? So, but as it stood, like, she was trying to trick Mariner into saying
no, she was just having fun.
She was trying to trick because she was like, if I take, because Mariner, it was, she was trying to trick Mariner because Mariner was like, what are we doing? And she's like, it'll be more dangerous if I tell you. And she's like, all right, don't tell me. And so I'm saying, if that were true, if it were more dangerous if Talyn told her that,
she would have told her earlier. I disagree with you. I believe Talyn's calculation. I don't think Talyn was lying. I don't think she made up that calculation. I think she's exactly correct that it will be that much more dangerous. It's just that since it's supposed to be such an easy mission, it's a meaningless, irrelevant danger.
Because why? She's telling her, if it's more dangerous if I tell you, Mariner was trying to ask, where are we going? And they didn't want to tell her because they wanted to make her think that not telling her would make it more dangerous.
Yes, it'll make 2.1 times zero.
Wait, wait, and it would take
that's
it.
That's the joke.
That's not the joke. It wasn't the joke. She was tricking her. They were trying to keep Mariner from asking questions, because if it actually was safer if they told her the details, they would have told her the details without telling her that it was more dangerous. Dangerous to tell her the details.
Excellent.
I don't think that's like a joke. I think it's just what happened. It was a joke about how she was tricking her.
Yeah, okay.
And because there is
a little bit of danger. There's a little bit of danger to what they're doing, just not much.
Yeah.
And it's a non-zero number.
And two times not much is not much.
But it's still more dangerous. And so, like, she would have told her right away if that was going to mean she was safer. They were just trying to trick her.
You can join us in this conversation either by writing to feedback@iscottstartrek.com or checking us out on social media. In social media, you can write us all sorts of crazy stuff on social media, and we will respond, because that's the type of blokes that we are. On social media, you can find us anywhere at It's Got Star Trek. Yes, that's the at symbol, It's Got Star Trek, right?
This planet has no honor.
See, it's funny, because remember how you wouldn't play the sound effect of the guy's bones breaking last week?
Yeah.
But you played that, and that sounds pretty...
I know, but
pretty
like
crunchy.
It is crunchy, but it's a knife jab, which to me sounds less awful than thinking about my bones.
You're right.
When they talk about bones sticking through skin, I get all really skeezed out.
The visuals are part of it. Yeah. But so that's the social media. We're on all the regular social media bits and a lot of the new ones too. Find us out there. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. Definitely check us out on YouTube. Do not forget to go to Trek Time's YouTube channel and check out the most recent episode of Pros and Cons, P-R-O-S-E, and Cons, K-H-A-N-S, in which Dan and I have a chortling debate.
Right.
Is that a verb that we can use? It's not really, that doesn't work, but it's a fun debate.
It sounds funny.
It's a fun debate. Definitely worth... It's a debate worth checking out.
Okay. Do you think... Oh, they talked about bending the knee in this episode. The first time I heard about bending the knee was in Game of Thrones. Has anyone ever heard that before Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I think.
I don't think I've heard that before.
Yeah, it's just a term of, you know, loyalty.
I heard it.
I've heard it in things other than Game of Thrones, but there was things that came after Game of Thrones, so I don't know.
Well, again... You can write us on social media or an email, or go to our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, and all manner of joyful things will find you there. So that'll be it. What you talking about, Dan? That'll be it for us this week. And next week, of course, we will be discussing the finale, the as yet unannounced name. The name has not been announced. We don't know what the finale's name is. I don't know if it's a part two to this one or if it's a totally different name. We will find out next week. You will find out before we do, probably. And so you can look at again at our social media and stuff and check it out. But otherwise, we look forward to talking to you next week about
that. You should have thought of that before you called me a puppet.
It was brutal, but it was really funny. All right. Anyway, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you later. All right.
Bye-bye. Whoa.
Later.
Someone is trying to frighten us.
You now have 1 minute until you're doomed.
Sorry, Mr. Broker, but I'm not intimidated by a puppet. Who's pulling the string?
You're hurting me.
Tell me who your master is, you fake puppet piece of shit.
That's
He's got all sorts of internal organs.
Oh,